Hello everyone.
Hello, everyone.
It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. Should we just get stuck into it? No small talk. Or do you want to have a small talk and pretend we like each other and we're interested in each other's chat?
Or UFC. Watch it
Oh,
this weekend.
love big Tom Aspinall. I remember when he used to, mate, when I used to do the S&C for a lot of the fighters, I had three in a And they were always in an organization called FCC and used to fight at Bolton Stadium. And Tom Aspinall at that point was fighting in middleweight when he was younger. So he was like, I don't know how old he is now, but even at that point, and then he went middle, light heavy, heavy. But at that point, you were lucky to get out of the first round with him and then fights. So yeah, he's always been a bit of a beast, but I was buzzing for him because he's proper sound, innit? Proper sound, proper Wiganer. Good that I didn't see, but I haven't seen Pereira's fight yet. Did Pereira just absolutely smash him up?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. It was an early stoppage, I thought.
Was
Very
it?
early. No, Yuri was quite competitive, I thought, to be fair. It was quite an evenly matched, but then he just caught him, went down, almost like stumbled on top of him. Had a couple of hammer fists, I think. I can't remember. I think. And then I think it was quite an early stoppage.
Who won out of Mackenzie Dern and Andrade?
Oh God, Andrade knocked
Demolished
it
her.
down probably about four or five times.
There's no other real fights that caught my eye, actually. I didn't even have a look at the prelims. Yeah.
Benoit was all right.
Who?
Benoit, someone? Benoit, I can't remember the surname. He was pretty good.
I haven't watched it. I haven't watched it. Busy weekend of playing coach again.
I watched my nephew yesterday play football.
How did you? How old is he?
Seven,
Oh, so he's same age as Layson.
seven, eight. Yeah,
No way.
he was one. He reminded me when I used to play football, and he plays in goal at the moment. It's just that's the soul destroying position at that age, isn't it? Because,
Mate, I can't find a goalkeeper for shit.
oh,
And
he's not
we
really
lost.
too much.
Mate, that's why we lost this weekend because I have to rotate the players to go in there, and the two that it was their turn were absolutely fucking appalling. Let's hope their mums and dads don't listen to this podcast for fuck's sake, but they are appalling. So it's the first time we've lost since April. So I wasn't very happy. We need Layson back.
He did get man of the match.
Did I? Brilliant.
Buzzing.
Love it. Kinnell, I need a keeper. Right. Would you count sales for a paid group into the conversions on the dashboard or leave that for repeat clients only?
I think if the paid group is a feeder into your one-to-one, I think leave it because it obviously will bring the average price point down. If it is a staple part of the service that you do, then keep it in. So maybe just if it's a feeder, then maybe just have a separate sheet for it where you can track conversions and the marketing campaign leading up to it. So yeah, it depends how it fits into your business. Could you share some client engagement ideas when said clients live all over the world and aren't on Facebook or interested in a WhatsApp group? Good question.
It is a good question that think on my feet. I think accountability challenges bring people. If it's you're looking to bring people together that are kind of close to you and across the world, accountability challenges really help with that. So I think there's an element of people can feel like they're part of something within something. So I think that can help. I think having some form of like group coaching call where people can come on, a bit similar to what we do, and come on and live ask questions, discussions, all of that type of stuff. It helps people feel like they're not on their own and don't have the same, they're not just the ones having the struggles and frustrations. Like, how many times do you hear, you used to hear some of your clients going, but I'm your worst client, but I'm the one who struggles the most, I'm the one who don't do X, Y, and Z. When really that's all of them, but sometimes they just need to hear that. So I think some type of like group coaching call is a good idea to bring them together. I think now and again, like as much as probably we're all shudder when we think about it, going back to what the positives of bringing the community together during COVID, like whether it was you did, dare I say it, quizzes.
Face one.
Say again.
Everyone jumped on that app, didn't they, during COVID? And it was the biggest nightmare ever.
What app?
It was an app called Face something. I can't remember. Anyway, sorry.
Don't ever interrupt me again with a fucking pointless remark.
I'll interrupt you whenever I want, by the way.
Yeah, like stuff like it depends on your demographic, clearly. But some people might, like, I'm not saying do a quiz, but like get people together in a training session, a webinar, bring other people in. So like whether you're going to do a virtual yoga session, whether it's someone who's a specialist in a specific area, like we have a lot of the guys in the academy who serve parents might have a child psychologist that comes on and delivers a session so people can ask questions on stuff like that. Like it, I think, I hate the phrase, but think outside the box a little bit. And I could throw suggestions at you all day long and they're great. But what I would then do is take some of them suggestions and some of your own and then go out and ask your clients in a survey what they would value the most. And then start to just kind of program that into your client engagement calendar of what you're going to do on a monthly basis. So yeah. I think there's some suggestions. We can go training sessions, webinars, partners, to bring kind of partners in there and stuff, quiz nights, accountability challenges, all of that type of stuff really helps. So yeah, there's my suggestions. Anything that you would add?
No, I would only just mention about if they're not on Facebook or the WhatsApp, if you can, how you could utilize community groups and functionality in apps potentially that you might use for the business. Apart from that, no.
Next question. We're now in double digits in November. I feel it's semi-acceptable to ask, what is your favorite Christmas movie?
Oh. What would actually watch? I'd watch Die Hard. Is it my favourite one? No, but I'd always watch it. Home Alone. They're not my favourites, but they're just things that I'd probably watch at Christmas.
What's your favourite? The question is, what's your favourite?
I haven't got one. All right.
I thought you were going to say, I'm sure last time you were asked that question at this time of year last year, you said Elf.
No,
I suppose. The fact that you said Die Hard says a lot about you, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean?
What?
No, I would go with Home Alone. Like, bang up. So that's my favourite. Done. Not the remakes. Not Home Alone 2. Not Home Alone in New York. Not Home Alone fucking Home Alone. That's it. Done. Next question.
How would you recommend tackling lack of concentration when facing the important yet tedious tasks, regardless of how much I tell myself, oh, I've lost it. They're important and need to be done. I find myself staring at the screen thinking, where the fuck do I start with this clusterfuck? Thank you.
Okay. So, yeah, I fed back yesterday on this just in case she didn't listen to this one back because I know she's busy at the moment. So I'm going to tell you stuff that personally most people will probably already know. For me, them tasks, that you need to align them to some level of meaning. Like, no one wants to do their accounts. No one wants to do tracking their business. No one wants to do scheduling for their week. But the meaning for me to do scheduling and blocking it, time blocking and task blocking into my week means that I'll feel like I've got time back. I'm not reactive. I'm not stressed. I'm not all over the place. I'm not overwhelmed by the amount of things that I need to do. So there is an element of meaning to that that is far more beneficial to doing it than not doing it, right? So I think that's the first most important step. I think also is making sure that this is, again, common sense answer, but you're in a position where that's the only thing. So the tedious task, that's the only thing that you do in that hour, 2 hours. Everything else gets blocked out. It's not, I'm going to go from here to here. It's distractions away. It's focused on that one thing. And then my last point would be put an element of consequence on it. I think when I fed back to the check-ins last night, clearly we've got a lot of work on at the minute because of the conference and all of that type of stuff. So I'm starting to do little bits on Sunday night when I wouldn't normally do them or haven't done them for a while. And my consequence is that I spend a few hours working, but if I don't get done what I need to get done, then I don't see the kids before bed, which is obviously not what I want to do. I want to see them before they go to bed and all of that, especially going into a busy week. So I think an element of consequence to it sometimes really helps. So they're kind of my top three tips of how to overcome that stuff. But the amount of PTs that say this about not getting the important tasks done and it's easy to brush off, that then have a diary and a schedule that has gaps all over the place, no time blocking, no task blocking, none of that is unreal. So I would say that you need to get better at that stuff first, because what you'll find is that you'll do them important tasks if you start to schedule your business better in terms of processes. Anything you'd add?
The only thing I would add is I think just changing your environment. Like, I, as an example, started an email on Thursday and continued on Friday and just couldn't get my head into it. Didn't want to just send it out. And so a little bit like you, obviously at this time we're working more. So on Saturday, I just went into a coffee shop and just chilled out and took my time with it. And the change of environment worked well for me. Obviously we're usually just at home. So yeah, change the environment, change circumstances. Maybe if you're not happy with something, it doesn't have to go out right there and then.
Next question. How are you feeling about the upcoming coaches conference?
Yeah, excited about it. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to getting everyone in a room. I'm looking forward to listening to everybody. I'm more so about the coach from the coaches that are coming. I'm really looking to forward to seeing how we've taken the last, God knows how many events we've done, and especially the last two conferences, and taken the feedback and made it, hopefully, touch wood, better based on the feedback we've had. So I'm looking forward to the outcome. I'm looking forward to what it's going to be giving everyone who's attending. And just being around people, yeah. Around everyone. You?
Yeah, I am. I'm same as what you just said. And I just think it's important that, I think the biggest thing for me is the fact that we can throw as many people in front of you with amazing levels of experience and successes within the industry and all of that. But what's always important to us is that you take away stuff and apply them. Rather us than having 100 plus people in a room that's just ready to sit, listen to information and hardly apply any of it, then the really important thing to me that I value most and probably what I'm looking forward to most is the fact that people are just going to get stuck in and work, especially on a Friday. So you're going to come away with complete clarity and confidence that you've kind of got everything organized for the new year. Now that's a fucking real good place to be when you're self-employed and it can be a lonely place at times. So I think, especially the Friday, no disrespect to the other people speaking on the Saturday, but the Friday is going to be immense if you want to have that plan in place for early next year. So yeah, it's going to be good. And I would just wish there would have been more of stuff like this when we started, because it's so valuable that I think, because there is so much of it now, people take it for granted. And you genuinely can't, because I think I've said before, like, events like this saved my career in the industry. Otherwise, I probably just would have gone back into kind of sports coaching or within a club somewhere. So yeah, very, very, very important couple of days, and I'm buzzing for it. Next question.
How to use the feedback from a client survey to make your service better?
I would look at the data first. So the things that are telling you the facts of what they've said would make the service better, because we're always going to have a bias towards what we feel will make the service better, but you have to go off what's important to them. So hopefully you've set the questions up that gives you good, solid, robust kind of feedback. For argument's sake, which of these additions to the service would you find most valuable? And then you obviously prioritize what they'd find most valuable in regards to additions. Where they've put how they would rate, where you might have put how would you rate the check-in process and what improvements would you make? Well, you would prioritize the improvements that they've put down. So I think a lot of how you would use it is down to how you have positioned your questions. And if you position your questions well enough, well, it's really easy, because you can just download the report, whether it's from a Google form, type form, job form, and you look and go, right, actually, I'll give you an insight into last time we did it. Actually, the guys really liked the video feedback on their check-ins. Right, well, we absolutely need to hammer that down, because a high percentage of you really wanted that. So we made it a focus and made sure that the majority got one. Certain things like more notifications through the app and stuff like that, where we prioritize that stuff, making sure that, I think you guys turned around and said that instead of a business review session, giving you video feedback on your individual review would be better. We again action that. So essentially what I'm getting at is, if you make your questions good enough and it stays them in the direction of what they want to improve, it's easy to then look at it and go, right, I'm going to action that and that first. So yeah, that's kind of how you would use it. How you would use it without really putting your bias and assumption and your feelings of what do you think is best first. I think it's always best to go off what they've said. Waffled a bit then, but anything you'd add?
No.
Next question. I can't see myself not ever reinvesting into my own development. I guess I'm just curious. Do you still invest in your own development, such as having a mentor or taking courses?
Yeah, pretty constantly. Last course I did was the art communication with Kathy McDonald, which was really good. And currently taking quite a big dive into Facebook ads. And copywriting. So yeah, 100%.
Oh, fucking hell, I've just lost all the questions.
Did you ever, I've got it. Did you ever feel like you were too focused on gaining clients for the sake of money and numbers instead of focusing on delivering results? If so, how do you find that balance? Is it wrong to feel that way sometimes?
That's a top question, this. Yes, I absolutely felt that 1,000,000%. And it was something that I didn't ever want to feel. Because, and I think you could probably tell, and that's still with us now, is that I was very much in the mindset of, if you give a great service and you're a really good coach, great communicator, then word of mouth will be your best lead generator. That was my initial, and I still stand by that, but that was my initial thought process and how I wanted to build a business. So therefore, if you would have said to me at the start of my career, which is this person who was asked the question is fairly at the start of their career. I was heavily focused on making sure that I would look after clients, retain them, and then that spread by word of mouth, and I wouldn't have to do that much lead generation and marketing. That was because purely I didn't enjoy it when I first started coming to PT. But then I quickly realized that that will only take you so far. So I had to find a balance of that. So then within finding the balance of that, I work in a lot of the time extreme. So I then went all on that side in regards to, right, lead generation and marketing. I need to save my business. I need to make sure I get people in. I know I'm a good coach who delivers a good service, but I'm not getting people through the door. So then I went heavy on that side and it didn't feel right. But I knew I had to do it. So my advice would be, is it wrong to feel that way? No, it's not at all. I think finding the balance for me always comes back down to making sure that you've got solid processes within your business, where you're super clear on what your aims are for your sales and marketing. So then you can go, right, if my aims are this for sales and marketing, then the time invested needs to be this. Okay. So then I need to put that into my week and that's just solid. So then you've got a good portion of time and process for sales and marketing. And then you've got a really decent portion of time for your client engagement and client retention and all of that type of stuff. So then you've got the peace of mind that actually, yes, I'm doing heavy lead generation and marketing and it's strategic and it's smart and hard work, but also I'm looking after what I truly value, which is the people in my business and what I enjoy the most. So it's normal to feel like that in a nutshell. And the best way to try and overcome that is to try and make sure that your schedule is well balanced in terms of processes. The last point on this, and I'll let Nick add anything, but there will be times that, for example, if you're launching something new or if you're selling something that is new, then it's going to feel like, Jesus Christ, I am absolutely all about lead generation and marketing at the moment and sales, and it feels like it's all about that and less about. There's going to be times in business that it feels like that, but obviously you can manage the balance, hopefully. Anything you'd add?
I think that the realization of that is always going to happen, or you're always going to be, you know, conflict sometimes of being between those two places. I think it's always going back to what impact you want to have and why you want to help people, because ultimately keeping hold of that will and making sure that you are going out there and you're making people aware of how you can help them and how good this thing is and whatnot will ultimately give you the return. But it's all obviously natural to dip into shit. I might have had a client leave, or I'm not where I want to be financially, or something's happened where it puts pressure on finances, etc. It's always going to happen. But I think as long as you stick to your core values of your business and you as a person, you can quite happily cross over into that. Well, no, because if you want to impact more people, that equals more money. So, and I think that just, it never really stops. You just get more used to it, I think, and learn how to kind of understand how one impacts the other.
Next question. What would you put in room 101 from the fitness or PT industry today?
How long we got?
What is room 101?
It's like putting your pet peeves in.
Okay.
I don't know the background about it, but I know it was a TV show and they used to basically go, here's my pet peeve about this. And they used to have to get the presenter to basically agree with them, and then they put that in the box. I don't know where it's come from originally, though. Very recently is people that are, I guess, our peers who are business mentors and business coaches who, first of all, sell something that's not reality of what their actual service is. And secondly is them not having the confidence in their business, and they feel they have to force people into contracts that they can't break. That's the top two things purely from the last couple of weeks of hearing it. So those are my kind of most recent ones. Other pet peeves are... No, I'm going to leave it with those two, actually. What are yours?
People who personal trainers who communicate to their clients via Instagram. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there isn't a better way to communicate to them, either in the client group or from a one-to-one basis, like putting it on your stories.
We'll leave this week.
Say again.
My annual leave this week.
Yeah. Silly. What else? My pet peeve of most personal trainers is that they say they procrastinate, they're overwhelmed, they've got too much on, but they have a schedule of a child, where they just have their client sessions and maybe their hair and nails appointments. So you're asking to be overwhelmed, feeling like you've got no time, all that bollocks. You've started something here, haven't they? They've really started something, because I'm going to carry on.
I've got another one.
Go on then, you go.
My other one is commercial gym chains. Commercial gym chains not actually giving the required support or outsourcing the actual required support to retain their trainers. And yeah, that's been my pet peeve for about fucking 10 years. But yeah, it's all obviously we're out of that in regards to directly working for one of those. But when I'm out of it, I don't know what it is, whether it's increased or whether it's just selective attention. The amount of ads I come across daily, every day for personal trainers is ridiculous. Is ridiculous. And it's not like brand new gyms opening. It's gyms that have been open years, which tells me there's been no change. There's still the problem that was there. And the fact that, in my opinion, I don't think it's ever really going to change. And it's, I think, bad for the industry.
I've got more, but I'm not going to carry on because I just sound like two morning old bastards. Next question.
Should I win a competition and give one place away for the 4 weeks fat loss challenge by asking people to share in their story and cut it off and tag to get more reach?
It depends on the aim of what you're trying to do. Depends on the aim. Yeah, it depends on the aim of what you're trying to do. If you're trying to spread awareness, should I run a competition and give one place away for the 4 week fat loss challenge by asking people to share it in their story? I'll tell you what it will do, right? It will definitely get more awareness and more attention on what you're doing. So if that's what you want with that, then do it. Absolutely. One thing I will say is that make sure you do it in a strategic way, because you'll kick yourself that if people have shared it and tagged you, but you haven't took the data. Now, that might slow the volume down slightly, but at least be giving you higher quality leads. That's what I would say. Anything you'd add?
No.
Importance of getting online clients from socials as opposed to just gym floor.
Hard question to answer, really, because I guess what you're asking is, how do I balance the time of spending time on social media versus time on the gym floor? I think there's a balance, and I think you'll naturally lean towards one, which is obviously the one that you're more comfortable and used to and have experience in, which for a lot of personal trainers is the gym floor. But what I would say is that you've got to make a decision, and you've got to be comfortable with actually turning people down from the gym floor who want face-to-face if you want to grow your online service, because the more people you take face-to-face, the less time you have for socials, the less time you have for online clients. So I think it is more of a decision based on facing into something that you need to understand more, try, experiment with, develop your own style, develop your own voice, get really clear on who the demographic is, etc. And how give yourself the opportunity to be able to do that. If you were to going to say, right, scenario A is, I'm going to stay in this gym, I'm going to keep my face-to-face clients where they are and grow my online business purely from gym membership, but I'm not looking to move away from that gym in the near future, I'd be like, cool. There's no, like, focus on the gym floor of getting them there. If you're going to say, I want to build an online business for more freedom so I can be more location dependent, I'd say you need to put more time into socials, because that's where you're going to get the future clients from if you're moving away from that source of leads. Anything you'd add?
No, I don't think so. It's committing to a strategy. Like, as formal as that sounds, it's the biggest downfall of most. It's committing to a strategy. And listen, that's us sitting here and saying all of the time we have a strategy for absolutely everything. There's times when you need to wing it and probably be slightly reactive and do certain things with your marketing to get you a quick return and so on. But with something like that where you go in, right, I want to commit to and get online clients now, and that's my focus. It's making sure you go all in, as you just said. I think sometimes it can be a comfort blanket to be on the gym floor and get face-to-face clients so you don't commit to the online stuff. Like, the success that we've had in the past is when people have gone, even if I lose face-to-face clients, my only messaging is online. And that provides a bit of insecurity for a lot of PTs, that's the only thing they're driving. But I think it's to provide the PT the long-term confidence that actually they can have a plan, commit to it, action it, and get a return from it because they've been consistent with it, instead of going, oh, actually, this isn't meeting my expectations and this person wants gym floor PT, and then that just takes up more of your time. So yeah, I think it's then important to making sure that you commit to it. That's all I'd add.
Bosh.
Bish, bash, bosh. Do you know, I met him as well. Do you know what's that big heavyweight called whose dad says bosh all the time? Bosh, like that.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's his name? What's the heavyweight called? I met him and his dad. Well, you know, when I went to Dublin, he was in Conor McGregor's bar.
I can't remember.
Oh, do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah, I can hear it in my head.
Big John. It's called Big John, and then he goes bosh all the time. I met him. He's fucking proper sound as well. His dad's a big bloke, man. He's a walking heart attack. He's a big bloke. But yeah, that's where it comes from, isn't it? Bosh. Everyone's fucking on it now. Nick, any closing thoughts today?
Closing thoughts. No.
Time for you haven't got any closing thoughts.
No.
I'll tell you the closing thoughts is, we have got an endless amount of tickets for the Saturday at the coaches conference. The room goes up to 100. Fill your boots, buy the tickets ASAP. The Friday tickets aren't far off being done. Friday and Saturday, the weekend ones aren't far off being done, but there's still some left there. But the Saturday tickets, fill your boots, hurry up. What are you waiting for God's sake? It's under 2 weeks.
Fill your boots.
I'm going to start going around these Manchester gyms and seeing how people coach and go, yeah, you need this. Sort yourself out, son.
Gosh.
Bosh. There you go. See you in a bit. Go on. Off you go.